Hey, what's up, Toby? This is Chris. We are kicking off our next podcast. I actually forgot which number it is because we've done many.
We're on a roll.
We have been consistent, and this is podcast.
This is our next best podcast.
This is our next best podcast. You know how I'm an official podcaster? Let me just tell you.
Yeah.
First of all, the podcast is not making money. So let's just start there.
Check.
Because good. I bought a new mic. Did I need a new mic? No, but I wanted to feel like a podcaster.
Yeah.
And if I had to buy a new mic, I should at least buy a mechanical keyboard so I could maybe feel like a developer.
Sure. Clickety clack.
So process debt it's not quite taking me into debt, but we're not necessarily making money.
Chris, I think we file this in the dress for the job you want.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, that's it.
I like it. I'll have to get some sound panels and we'll be good to go.
Totally. You can't put a price tag on living the dream.
No, you cannot. All right. Today's topic, we're talking about debt in general. And debt of the process kind. So you run up a really good comment on just how not all debt is bad.
No, you know, I think if we step away from the specifics of the process for a second, and God knows we only have a second with these 5-minute podcasts, but
yep.
You know, there's an entire world of valuable and powerful uses for yep. debt, whether it's managing your monthly spend with a credit card that you pay off every yep. month, right?
Yeah.
Or being able to leverage into a home and
yeah.
a mortgage allows you to do that versus having to save up $1.7 trillion for a down payment,
yeah.
right? So there's mechanisms where debt is a healthy and a positive thing. And
yeah.
we often keep those kinds of debt only in the financial category and we don't think about them in the world of technical debt or
yeah.
process debt.
So, yeah, yeah.
So the question that I might raise is when we think about process debt, are we saying that it's inherently inefficient or ineffective? When is some process debt the right kind of debt to bring on in an organization?
Yeah, what's interesting is like, even from a tech debt standpoint, if you're not pushing the envelope on the sales, you're probably not growing.
Mm.
Which means if you have the most efficient process in place, the world's going to move on you. Right. And so what's interesting is as you're bringing up debt, I was just thinking like, how much principal do I owe my house? And then I got a little depressed and then I actually was proud of myself because I did not run away.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is like,
room. Yeah.
What's interesting is we should do appropriate decisions with our debt. Right. And that's with our business processes. And so I talk a lot about, is this a one time? Or is this going to always be the case? And so you end up finding really good processes
yeah.
in HR groups.
Okay. Why do you right. see them there? Why do you observe that?
Well, you also have people that don't understand technology and don't understand the tools, which is a different topic for a different day. But
yep.
but like they do the same thing, which is hiring, right?
Yeah.
And so what I'm getting at is that process piece really has more to do with getting resumes in. And
yeah.
getting interviews set, right?
Yeah.
That whole thing of like, if you're a growing company or you're a company of any size, you're gonna have employees coming in and out of the org. And so that's one of those consistent things where it's like, it should be boring, right? Like it really should be like stupid boring. And that would be a case where that makes sense to invest.
Yeah.
Because a debt that you take on should provide some value.
I agree. Yeah. It should allow you to access something you couldn't otherwise. I mean,
yes.
That's the logic of it. It has to be more valuable than the cost.
And yes.
So I love the example with HR because it makes me think even more broadly. If these
yeah.
high volume transactions and organizational
yep.
success assumes your ability to manage a high volume of activity, those processes eventually have to get hard.
Yep.
They have to be highly repeatable, which then means we can start
yeah.
to automate them, which means we can start to leverage all the tools that we have. But
Yeah.
If I've never gone to market to hire somebody, I don't know where to place the job ads. The worst possible thing I could do is turn on the feeder system to the interwebs and invite 100,000 candidates into my world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's
well.
So if that's where we should see less process debt in some of those more critical, you know, high volume transactional things, what are the places that process debt should be incurred? What are some examples around the business where this early discovery and taking on a little bit of debt makes sense?
I think you see it in startups a lot.
Okay.
And so where you essentially are just doing everything you can to get sales in the door, I think it makes sense if your company's in a down cycle, right? Where like your priority, like there becomes this almost like I need to survive.
Yeah.
Right. On the cash flow side, I'm not even talking on the process side. I'm just talking like I got to pay my bills.
Yeah.
Spend less. Then it really should provide all of that focus.
Yeah.
And I think where I get frustrated and see process debt the most is really when someone at a level wants a report on a process that's not built.
Yeah.
And so the process gets half baked. And then there's what ends up happening is you have this reporting layer and no one says, hey, look, how much did that report cost? Or there's no cost associated with that.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like being house poor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I didn't understand that when I bought this house that I would have all the taxes. And I mean, I've got a 4-car garage, so I should get 4 cars, right? So like it's our ability to consume.
I love that. And I think that so many platforms, you know, it used to be, if we even go back just 10 years, if you wanted reporting, there was only 2 or 3 real tools in the space outside of the native applications. Today, with APIs and in this absolute boom of data visualization tools, people can see them in very different ways. They can interact with the data without having to create these long-standing reports that are always going to be out of sync. So maybe I think that's a great example of where not racing to harden a process makes good sense. We don't know if it's going to deliver the value we expect. Are there other corners of the business that either shift a lot that come to mind, or that that organizations just rarely understand well enough to sufficiently harden them?
I think there's, you know, one of the ones that I've thought about a lot has been just around like the QBR process.
Yeah, the quarterly
reviews. Okay. Yeah, like or any sort of like monthly or quarterly or annual process. Like maybe not annual, but I would do monthly and quarterly. There should be some underlying architecture or tool that supports that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where this kind of goes back to the house analogy is before you buy a house, you always get an inspection.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the things, one of the pains that we have in process debt is new employees, right?
Right.
And what can happen is a new employee can come in and they're kind of like the canary in the coal mine, that they can basically be that voice of reason.
Right.
And some of that is just asking, how much does this report cost us in human effort?
God, I hate that.
And then what's the value, right? Like, I think, you know, it's interesting. You know, I've spent a lot of time in operations, and on the inventory side, like everybody wants to have 0 out of stocks, everyone.
Yes.
But very few people revenue. Want to pay the cost to have those kind of stock levels. And so it's this up and down, like this push and pull. And I think process debt is really similar in that ways. And where there are times where you just have to inspect, how much does this cost? And I think sometimes, I think one of the things that COVID did to us is we've gone into this habit of more and more meetings and more distraction. And so oftentimes we're not just talking the same language. We're not talking the same almost, we're just not talking the same. We're not communicating. We're not connecting.
Yeah.
And so I, a lot of times we have these, we're talking and the other person's listening, but we're actually not solving a real problem. Or,
oh, Chris.
Or C is a C, a, you know, getting a C on the test is good enough, right?
I'm going to put a pin in that, leave that cliffhanger.
Oh,
thank you for joining us for our 5 plus 5, 5 minute podcast. Oh. Join us for the next one. Oh. I want to drill into this communication. What's the value of 6 hours of meetings a day? Is that process or is that dead or is that just squirrely? All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for your time.